We're in another message on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit, which God wants to produce in our lives. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit or the work of the Holy Spirit, we're entering into a topic or a subject that sometimes people do not understand. If you think of the three persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, probably the ministry of the Holy Spirit is less understood by many people, even believers today. The Bible is very clear. At the time of salvation, we were regenerated by the Spirit of God. When you were born again, it is the Spirit of God who, we call this a non-experiential thing in light of the fact that you didn't necessarily feel it happen to you, but you were given spiritual life by the Spirit of God. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." So when you trusted Jesus, you were renewed in your spirit and soul, and you were washed in regeneration. The Holy Spirit came into your life and gave you new spiritual life. He imparted to you spiritual life. There are many ministries of the Spirit that take place at the time of salvation. You're regenerated. You're baptized into the body of Christ. You are joined together with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. You're placed into the body of Christ. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about this in just a moment. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And you're even anointed by the Holy Spirit, whereby the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to understand God's truth and the ability to do the will of God in your life and experience. There are ministries of the Spirit which take place throughout the Christian life. Many ministries of the Spirit, third person of the Trinity. And the Holy Spirit prays for us. Romans chapter 8 says sometimes we don't know what to pray for, and you have a burden or concern of heart. So the Holy Spirit comes along who lives within you, and He takes your concerns to the Father in heaven. It's beautiful. It's a very important ministry. You don't really hear that much about it. Holy Spirit prays for us and prompts us in praying. Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He bears witness to us that we are children of God. He teaches us. He guides us. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart unto the Lord. He fills us. He gives us spiritual gifts, and He so works in our lives that we can have our lives changed as He produces the fruit of the Spirit within us. So important. Now again, the Holy Spirit, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, came to live within you. He indwells every Christian. Whether the Christian is in fellowship with God or out of fellowship with God, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And He is within you, giving you the enablement, the power to overcome what we might call human inadequacies. When sometimes people first come to know Christ, they hear things in the Word of God and they say to themselves, "I don't know if I can fulfill God's expectations of me as a Christian." And you know, the answer to that is yes, you can. God is not going to load upon you things which you cannot do apart from Him. You can do His will in your life. Apart from Him, it's very difficult. In fact, you can't really live the Christian life as God wants you to live it. But we have living within us the Holy Spirit, and God wants us to draw upon the power of the Spirit to accomplish those things which He wants us to do. And so we're going to talk about, again, the fruit of the Spirit in a few minutes, but we realize that having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives comes as you and I as believers have a sensitivity to the leading and the prompting of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And we as believers are to draw upon His power. And by the way, it's moment by moment. It's possible that you could be in fellowship with the Lord now as we're here worshiping God, and you could go out and get in your car and start driving along, and somebody cuts you off, and all of a sudden you're in the flesh again. It's not a lot of fun to have somebody cut you off. And there are plenty of drivers out there. I have no idea what the statistics would be of drivers who don't drive so good. But the point is that God wants us, and we're going to talk about this a little bit when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. God wants us to moment by moment be depending upon the Spirit of God. And please, if we stop the message right here, please remember, when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit came to live within you. And He lives within you to give you the power to do the things that He wants you to do. And He doesn't necessarily want you to do things that He wants other people to do. But there are things that God has carved out for your life. And we often think of it in terms of ministries and things we can do for the Lord. That they're very, very customized for you to do. And you have the Holy Spirit living within you to enable you to do the things that God wants you to do. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, again, they're listed here in the text in Galatians chapter 5. We had it on our responsive reading this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is vitally linked to the filling or the control of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not be drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And it's interesting that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, guiding the human writer, said, "Don't be drunk with wine, where in its excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So someone who's drunk with wine oftentimes will try to do some things that they wouldn't normally do if they were not inebriated. Likewise, a believer who is controlled by the Spirit of God may ask you to do things and to say things and to do things for God's glory that you wouldn't ordinarily do unless He were controlling your life and experience. In this passage that we have before us in 5:16, the Apostle Paul says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And there again, the flesh is mentioned. And the flesh is, the flesh is what we were before we came to faith in Jesus Christ. We have a body, soul, and spirit, and flesh. Okay? And that we, before coming to Christ, we would do things in our own strength and in our own power. After you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you can make some choices and decisions. You can depend upon God to help you, or you can do things just in your own strength and your own power. I believe one of the better definitions of the flesh is it's referring to patterns, habits that we had BC, before coming to Christ. Okay, and so we can function depending upon the Spirit of God, or we can function like we did, making choices and decisions sometimes on our own, not praying about things before we came to Jesus Christ. That's the flesh. And of course, when the flesh only is in control, this passage of Scripture is something else. Before the work of the Spirit, it talks about what happens when only the flesh is in control. When the flesh is in control, there can be adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, verse 20 of the chapter 5, jealousies, outbursts of anger, and all these things which happen when God's not there to bring the control into the life. But as believers, if we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we will see the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Now, I liked what I read this week. And in fact, I'm going to mention to you, one of my favorites is Charles Stanley. And he put out a book on the Holy Spirit. And he said this, I like it. He said, "The thing that sets the fruit of the Spirit apart from someone just being a nice person..." You see, there's a difference. Okay, when you say, well, the fruit of the Spirit, here's a Christian who's really... has love and joy and peace. But there's a lot of people in the world who do not know Jesus who can be pretty nice people. But Charles Stanley said, wait a minute. There's a huge difference between what the Holy Spirit does inside a believer and just someone being a nice person. All right? Here's how he says it. I love this. This is very meaningful. "The thing that sets the fruit of the Spirit apart from just someone who's being a nice person, whether they're saved or they're lost, is that the fruit of the Spirit is not environmentally sensitive." In other words, the environment in which you find yourself doesn't make the condition of having the fruit of the Spirit in your life. As he said, it's one thing to have peace and joy when everything is going your way, but it's another thing to have love, joy, and peace when you're going through trials, when the pressures are on you, when things aren't going your way. Because you have the Holy Spirit, you can still show the love of Christ. We've handled this before. We've talked about it before. The Bible says, love your enemies. Listen, we cannot do that on our own. You can't love someone who's hating you and trying to put you down and trying to push you out of their life and experience. You can't do it on your own. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. Someone can be very negative towards you, but because you have the Holy Spirit living within you, you can show love and joy and peace. And it challenges their understanding of how you could do that as a Christian. And there are many, many examples of this. But here's a good point. Again, when the Holy Spirit has control, and I found these examples too, when the Holy Spirit has control of you, you can love and have love for those who do not love you in return. You can have joy in the midst of painful circumstances. You can have peace when something you were counting on doesn't happen. You can have long suffering when things are not going as fast as you would like to see them go. You can have patience when things aren't going at the speed you feel they should go. You can have kindness when people are very unkind to you. You can show goodness towards those who have intentionally been very insensitive to you. You can be faithful to even friends or relatives who have been not faithful to you, but you can be there for them. You can show gentleness towards those who have handled you very roughly, and you can show self-control when you are in the midst of some tremendous temptation. And please keep in mind, believers, doesn't matter how long you've been saved, doesn't matter. You can still be tempted. We always pray in our men's group. We want to end well. We want to finish well. We want to be able to get into the presence of the Lord. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. But listen, please don't forget it. You're not the only one that's tempted. We are all tempted to sin. And in the midst of the time of temptation, we have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, the Spirit of God, to give us that ability to say no to the temptation and yes to what the Lord wants us to do. Self-control. When we're yielded to the Spirit of God, the temptation comes in front of you and you say no. Well, listen, even the world says and teaches people who don't even know Jesus to say no to drugs. We can say no to sin through the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought it was interesting. I was reading this chapter in Charles Stanley, and he said after he got done preaching on the fruit of the Spirit, he said one of the men in the church said to him about his place of work. He said, well, he said, Pastor, he said, I spend 10 to 12 hours a day fighting alligators. And he said, if I started acting gentle and kind, they'd eat me for dinner. Very interesting. When the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, it doesn't mean that we, and you've heard this term before, it doesn't mean we become wimps and fold under everything that's before us. It's not that at all. But when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, producing this fruit of the Spirit, it keeps us from being hateful and stressed and impatient and rude and insensitive and backstabbing and rough and having no control over our passions. That's why the Holy Spirit's been giving to us as believers. And we can do it in His power and His strength. And one of the reasons I'm spending some time on this is that we remind ourselves that we've got to yield to the Lord, to God's Spirit. We have to remember that He lives within us. And when things come along that want to cause us to lash out, we do not lash out. We say, Spirit of the Lord, I need Your fruit in my life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And we're going to look at these a little bit now that we've covered that having this fruit in our lives comes by understanding that the power to do these things is within us. But we have to be willing. We have to deal with sin quickly. And we have to be ready to allow the Holy Spirit to take control of us. It's a beautiful study. It really is. And I have found that I just can't walk away from this study of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I've defined them out by looking at different definitions and pulling some of my own. And that insert is in your bulletin. If you didn't get that, really, you should have this insert so that you could go over these things. Because when you stop to think about it, you should ask yourself, is there one of these that kind of stands out that I need God to help me in my life, in this area of my life? Is there one of these that, boy, it's a real deficit in my life. I need to be sure that I'm allowing the Lord to minister to me and use me for His glory. Of course, the first one, which is pretty obvious, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Apostle Paul begins with this because out of this fruit of the Spirit, love, there comes all the other, what we would call, virtues of the Spirit. Love, joy is love singing, peace is love resting, patience is love enduring, kindness is love's touch, goodness is love's character, faithfulness is love's habit, gentleness is love denying oneself, and self-control is love holding on to the reins. I like that a lot. Love has been called, of course, in Scripture, the supreme virtue of Christian living. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. And we've heard this probably many, many times. And as I mentioned, it's not easy to love someone who's unlovable. It's not easy to love someone who's hostile. It's not easy to love those who don't love you. It's not easy to love those who are filled with hatred. But again, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. It can be done. And I thought it was interesting in this very passage where the fruit of the Spirit are mentioned in 5:14, you see, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. And this is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And again, please keep in mind, I'm asking us to do something that only the Spirit of God can do. When Jesus hung on the cross, and you know what Jesus went through before he went to the cross, he was spit upon, he was beaten, they put the crown of thorns on his head, and he said, Father, forgive them, because they just don't know what they're doing. And of course, that forgiveness can only come when there's repenting and turning to God. But notice the Spirit of Christ on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So the first of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And you've heard this 100 times too. It's hard to define love. I still like Charles Ryrie's definition. I feel he's one of the greatest theologians of our day. Dr. Ryrie said, love is seeking the highest good in others, or it's seeking the glory of God in others. It's a reflection of personal choice. And God made a personal choice in relationship to you and to me. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. He chose to love us. Not when we were seeking Him. Of course, He did respond to us when we were seeking Him. But before we were seeking Him, He chose to save us. And stop to think about it. Look down your street. Oh boy, here he goes. Look down your street, and you're going to see down in your neighborhood, there are people who don't know Jesus. But you do. And it's awesome. We love Him because He first loved us. And you responded to the Lord. You believed that Jesus died on the cross for you and shed His blood for you. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was on Jesus, the bread of life. And, we had fun in that passage. Jesus, of course, had performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, which was really 5,000 plus. Another 5,000 plus some children. He multiplied the bread. Remember, the miracle took place in his hand as he multiplied the bread, gave it to the disciples, and the disciples in turn fed 5,000 plus people. It's a very obvious miracle. Well, the people responded and they said, "Wow, we want this guy for president. We don't want Trump. We want this guy." They really did. They wanted Jesus to take over, and they wanted him. In fact, the text of Scripture says they wanted to take him and make him king, and they wanted him to drive the Romans out of the land of Israel. But Jesus said, "No, I'm the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, spiritual hunger, and he who comes to me shall never thirst, spiritual thirst." So when you and I have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you see, our spiritual hunger and thirst have been met. And of course, this is taught in the passage too. And when Jesus said these things, they started walking away. He said, "You have to feed upon me." And that was a little bit too much for many of them. But as believers, we understand what that passage means. We need to keep in fellowship with the Lord, don't we? We have to feed upon Christ. He's the bread of life. You don't stop eating. You eat a meal and you eat another meal. And you eat one turkey dinner and you're going to eat a few more too. But the point is that Jesus said that he is the bread of life, and the point is he sustains us. The reason we can be here this morning and in fellowship with Christ is because we keep drawing from Jesus our strength and our nourishment. Sometimes people ask, why is it that here you have a Christian and they fall into sin? I mean, they really blow it. I mean, they fall into sin. Well, let me mention this right up front. If you know a Christian who has fallen into sin, and I don't care what kind it is, they immediately need your compassion and prayer, not your judgment. And this is really important. I still remember one day we got a phone call of someone here that we knew, not in this fellowship, who had really fallen into deep sin. And Chris Reese was pastor at that time, youth pastor. And Chris said, "Pastor, this guy needs prayer. Let's go to prayer." And I thought, whoa, you are exactly right. He needs prayer. And then when I'm saying this other person who's not in the fellowship fell into sin, he fell deep. But like Chris said, hey, got to have compassion for him. We have to pray for him. Because you've heard this phrase before, if it weren't for the grace of God, there I go, yes. So the first of the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's seeking the highest good in those that are loved, and it's a term of choice. God chose to love you, and he chose to love me. And we need to, in turn, love one another. And we said that we need to develop a mind frame that says you can do it with the power of Christ. Without Christ, the flesh, you can't love your enemies. But with the power of Christ, 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love." Okay, hey, there's a good checkup. John's writing, he said, here's a checkup, how you can know love. "Because he laid down his life for us, we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren." In other words, when we see another, especially brother or sister in Christ in need, probably what the Holy Spirit's going to do anyway, as you are growing as a Christian, he's going to say, hey, there's something you could do, even if it's just pray, to help that other believer out. But in the next verse, in 3:17 of 1 John, he says, if a person sees another believer in need, and it's talking about believers here, it's not talking about the world as such, although we do have a responsibility there. If you see another brother and sister in need, and you close up your heart of compassion, then he just asks the question, how does the love of Christ dwell in your heart if you shut things off when you see another brother or sister in Christ in need? Now, please, my friends, realize that what I'm handling here is not an easy subject. Anybody that thinks it's easy for us to just love our enemies and love those who are hateful, it's just not. It's just not. But the Spirit of the Lord lives within us. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit of God. And he's in you and he's in me to give us the power to do things that we would not ordinarily do. Very important. Let's touch on just a couple more. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Joy is experiencing delight because of your relationship with the Lord. You know, there's plenty of things out in our society today that can steal us and rob us of joy. There really are. But Nehemiah said to the people, Nehemiah 8, verse 10, he said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength. Because you can delight in your relationship with God, because you know God has forgiven you of your sins, because you know that if you sin as a Christian, you can confess that sin and get back into fellowship with the Lord. Because you know these things about you and God, He in turn will produce in your life joy." So we do not have to become negative about the future. We don't like the trends that we see in our country. We don't like some of the options of things that may happen in the future. But see, these things are not to beat us in our heads, to cause us to become down and depressed and negative. We are to remember that we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And another I am of Jesus, he said, "I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And so we have an awesome God and Savior who produces joy in us. I like what somebody said, and this is neat. Joy is the deep down sense of well-being in the heart of a person who knows the Lord. And it's a person who knows that things are well between him or her and God himself. And that's true. That's very beautiful. It's that sense of knowing that things are right between me and God. Reliance upon the Lord and obedience to the Lord brings joy into our lives. And I'll tell you what else. If you say, okay, hey, I understood what was said about love, and I do want joy in my life, I'll tell you, here, there's a little key that helps you to get that joy. Jesus said in John 16:24, "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." In other words, Jesus is saying, get into prayer. Start praying about your family, your children, your grandchildren, your relatives. Start praying. And as you are praying and you're lifting them up before the Lord, let's look at the verse again. John 16:24. "Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And by the way, your receiving doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out just exactly as you want it to be. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is given to us when things aren't so necessarily good around us, that we can still have inner joy. But Jesus is saying, when you pray, the Holy Spirit works in your heart, and you can come away from prayer, even though some people you know and love are in kind of difficult situation. When you come away from prayer, in fact, while you are praying, the Holy Spirit is working out in your life and experience joy. We won't talk about peace. We'll just remind ourselves that this is the fruit of the Spirit. And I look at it and I say, Lord, I love this list. And I really do. And Lord, I want to see these things in my life and experience. Help me, dear Lord, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit who lives within me. I desire to walk in the Spirit. I desire to have your Holy Spirit who lives within me produce these things in my life. And as I look at the list, if I see something on there that there's an area or two I really need help in, Lord, would you be pleased to help me to submit to you and to allow your Spirit to work in my life? Let's pray together.